Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth. Drama.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Of course, I want you to holler at me. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Holler at a brother. In the meantime, if you're afraid to holler at me, shoot me an email, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Questions, comments, concerns, I got you. Social network with me. Request to get into the Facebook page. The Smooth Drama Facebook page. You ask, you will receive the bonus of being able to talk to me any and all times. That's how we roll here at Smooth Drama. And if you ghost listening, like I know some of y'all do, y'all be ghost listening. Jump in the chat room. Say what you're going to say. Speak your clout. Don't be afraid to talk to me. I ain't afraid to talk to you. You shouldn't be afraid to talk to me. We can have a civilized conversation. I mean, I can multitask. I can talk about what I'm talking about and talk to you at the same time. Try me. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Anyway, Smooth Drama. Google me. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, I got you. Me and you are friends. Forever and ever and ever. And ever and ever. Anyway, NBA draft was tonight. I'm extremely disappointed in my team and who they picked. I'm not going, if you know me, you know who my team is. They picked a guy, and his ass better be good, because if he ain't good, I'm heartbroken. That's it. I think I'm in the show now. I don't even want to talk no more. But yeah, interesting draft. But I did see something that was more interesting than the NBA draft. Tyreek Smith, who is a defensive tackle, a recruit for Ohio State, he showed up at their camp this week. And he had on a t-shirt, a very special t-shirt. And he got flack for it. Now, y'all can guess that it was probably something that the mainstream just wasn't going to love. What was the t-shirt, you may ask? Because I'm just holding it out. But basically, Mr. Smith wore a t-shirt that read, "I hope I don't get killed for being black today." Truest statement that could be said. Like, you know what? I just want to play football. Please don't kill me. I mean, because, you know, he's saying, hey, I'm a big black guy. I've committed no crimes. So I stand a very good chance of being shot and killed. Or just killed. Because, you know, there's all kinds of ways you can get choked out. You can get beat by the baton till, you know, you can't think straight no more. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that the police kill you. Or you can get killed by a person who is married to a police officer. And she could be down there helping him. As we saw a couple weeks ago with the guy in Vegas. The Mexican guy that was peeing. And they didn't appreciate him peeing outside, and so he died because he was peeing outside. But I digress. The brother comes out and says, "I decided to wear the shirt because I wanted to bring attention to the epidemic of blacks being killed at an alarming rate. What we would like to do is have people talk about these issues to reduce the murder rate of African Americans." Now, of course, there are a lot of people who gave him negative reactions. And he was like, hey, they are speaking negatively because they don't understand what's going on and the message behind it. To see or hear about so many senseless killings, it tends to have a negative impact on you. You start to wonder if we should move away. But most, why? It's funny because we're living, you know, I talk about we live in the bizarro world. If you don't know what I mean, when I say bizarro world, bizarro is the exact opposite of Superman. So where Superman is supposed to be the Boy Scout, supposed to be the hero, the good guy, and embodies everything that's right, bizarro is the exact opposite. It embodies everything that's wrong. But only in this world, in America in particular, everything is bizarro. If it's wrong, it's right. If it's right, it's wrong. So, you know, we say Black Lives Matter. They're mad. Like, y'all want to matter? Then, you know, you make a shirt. Hey, I hope I don't get killed for being black today. So, it's a reasonable expectation. I mean, look, we talked about civil rights, you know, civil rights movement. It was just basically, hey, can we just get a sandwich at a place that we like to get a sandwich without getting beat on? You know, just can we have rights too? But once again, digressing. I want to talk about something as more important than rights and the fact that black people had the nerve to want to live. I mean, I don't even know what I was thinking. You know, let me smack myself. I did smack myself, but it was on the hand, because if I smacked myself in the face, I'd hurt myself, and I don't know why I would do something stupid like that. But technically, if I did something stupid like that, it would make sense because it was stupid. Because we're living in a bizarre world, right? Anyway, stating the obvious. Stating the obvious is what we're doing. But when we say stating the obvious, we're talking about stating the obvious on things that make no sense whatsoever. Case in point, of things that make no sense whatsoever, but a popular. Young Thug. Young Thug released his new album, Beautiful Thugger Girls. Even though reportedly he doesn't really like girls, he just likes dressing up like girls. He dropped his Beautiful Thugger Girls album on Tupac's birthday, which was last week, June 16th, because he says, and I quote, "I dropped my album on Tupac's birthday because I'm the new Pac." He tweeted that. "I feel like I am the thug he didn't get to become. # So I'm going to finish what he started." Unquote. Now, besides the fact that Tupac is like, hell no, let me come out from my exile in Antarctica, Cuba, wherever the hell they say Pac is right now, hiding out, making albums still. Young Thug is the thug that Pac didn't get to become. You know, I mean, because, yeah, Pac didn't get a chance to wear dresses and, you know, talk about beautiful thugger girls, which in his case would be gender binary, as they try to call it now, and whose pronouns would say her, things of that nature. Pac never wore the dress. So, yeah, I can see how Young Thug is being that thug. I mean, because There ain't nothing more fearful, nothing more ferocious than a thug in a dress. You know, when I saw that album cover, and he had on that nice long dress, I was like, yeah, he's gangster. It was like, I wouldn't want to see him in the street. I'm crossing the street because you don't know what young thug in that dress is capable of. You don't know underneath that he might have one of those big, pretty bonnets that they used to have in the Wild Wild West back in the day. You know how they used to have the bonnets where it made the women's booty look like they was way bigger than they actually were when it was just all cotton, as we know now. You know, white women never really had booty. They're killing themselves to look like you, sister, by the way. I'm going to keep saying that. Young Thug, bringing it back. And he billed this album as a singing album. And supposedly he got a lot of positive feedback. So, if you out there listening to all my beautiful and handsome people out there, if y'all listening, y'all tell me about this singing album, this hardcore, beautiful thugger girl album. Just somebody prop it up to me. Tell me what it's all about, because I will not be listening to it. I'm sorry. Maybe my beautiful correspondents, y'all can hook me up and tell me what it's all about. Other than that, I will never, ever, 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 never, ever, ever, never, ever, never, ever, ever be caught dead listening to a Young Thug album. But if y'all know any of these beautiful thugger girls that he named this album after, y'all hook a brother up. I'm a remain the hater, the best hater that I can be. But in the meantime, I'm going to go into something else. This is the hater, not the hater. I'm stuck on hate. This is the dumbass of the week right here. All right, my dumbass of the week is a couple, the Alabama pastor and wife, Sherry Treba and Michael Trosclair. They're a mother and father, pastor, and I don't know, what do you call the wife, a pastorette? Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, they took their infant daughter to a party at an Indiana bar, and the mama was drinking and smoking while breastfeeding her child. You know, that's top shelf stuff right there. You don't get no better than that. I mean, I thought that I had heard it all back in the days, but yeah, ain't nothing wrong with pastor getting a drink and a smoke in, right? And there ain't nothing wrong with pastorette getting a drink and a smoke in, right? Except for when you take your kid to the bar and you're breastfeeding your kid in front of the bar while drinking and smoking. You know, on that one, that's like drop the mic right there. It's like, you know, because the Lord said. Oh, I said that like one of the black preachers. And the Lord said, on the fourth day, we should bring all our kids to the bar and get drunk. And we should breastfeed our kids while we're drinking and smoking, because it's the right thing to do. Oh, man, it's not hard it is to sound like that. It's kind of rough. Shout out to all the Caucasians who sound like that. Y'all, y'all are my role models. Psych. Anyway, Dumbass of the week, Sherry Trevor and Michael Trostclair. There ain't nothing like praising the Lord by breastfeeding your kid in front of the bar while drinking and smoking. It's top shelf stuff right there. Whew. And on that note, methinks that I am going to go on break. What am I going to go on break to? I'm going to jump on some Roots. This is the Roots. Swept Away. Myself out over here, you know, these stationary objects that are moving while I'm moving at the same time. It's a conspiracy by my table desk here to take me out. If I was crazy, I would say stuff like that and really mean it. But I'm not crazy, so I do not mean it. Anyway, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Stating the obvious, rich people, millionaires and billionaires, screwing over thousandaires. It's like that old Tribe Called Quest, NDC rule number 4080, record company people are shady. Industry rule number 4081, your elected officials, they're shady too. Perfect example. The new healthcare bill that is being introduced here. Woo! Now, you know, they're all saying it's Obamacare-like, and it's so much better for the people. But what is it? Well, in this bill, it's supposed to make big changes to Medicaid, you know, the program that insures about 74 million old people and lower income Americans. Under the Obamacare, it was expanded in most states. Now, in effect, the revisions will reduce the federal spending on the program because, you know, why would you want to spend money on the elderly and lower income people who can't really fend for themselves? I mean, it doesn't make sense, right? Because, hell, why we want to take care of the folks who need it the most? We should just, you know, let them go ahead on die. Now, the details are, I'm being facetious, I hope y'all know that, Medicaid would transform to an open-ended entitlement to one in which federal funding would be distributed to states on a per capita basis. The Senate measure would also seek to phase out the program's expansion, although at a more gradual rate than the House version. So basically, they'll be cutting Medicaid funding in the future. And in 2025, the measure would like tie federal spending on the program to an even slower growth index than the one used in the House bill, meaning that move is going to prompt states to reduce the size of their Medicaid program. Thus, for all intents and purposes, killing elderly and lower income citizens. Because, you know, we had to do something. Now, where does that money go? You wonder? Where does that money go? I was like wondering, like, man, what was gonna happen? Well, they were pushing for the inclusion of a $45 billion fund to treat and prevent opioid addiction. You know that stuff I've been talking about, the opioid crisis, so-called crisis that's happening here in America, meaning prescription drugs that you know, are legal, being distributed legally to citizens. It's a suburban thing, and people in the suburbs are straight up addicted at a high rate. So they want to throw that in there because, of course, you take away from the elderly and poor lower income people, and you help the people in the suburbs who actually have money. They just recreationally use this opioid money, as well as a tax break. And I know it's hard to believe, but there's going to be a tax break, aka subsidy for Americans earning 100% and 400% of the federal poverty level. That's who those subsidies used to go to, but now there is what they're calling the old cap, what did we say, it was a Cadillac tax. There's going to be a tax cut for the rich because, you know, you got to hook rich people up so that they can trickle down money to poor people. And, Orlando, I think I have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. What can I do you for? Caller, you're on the air. Hello? Caller going once. Caller going twice. All right. Maybe you call back and we can get you on there. In the meantime, yeah, tax break for the millionaire, billionaire. Cutting of the fund for the people who can't afford things, elderly and lower income people, because, you know, rich people need the money. This way, they can take that money that they save in taxes and go and start businesses, and that money will trickle down to those people because those are your job creators. That's the argument, right? We always hear that. No, they're not going to buy another vacation home in the Bahamas, in the Hamptons. No, that's not what they're doing with that tax money. No, they're going to start a business. They're going to hire people. That money's going to trickle down. You just wait. Just wait on that tax break. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. Now, you ain't going to get no health care from the job. And, you know, hey, it's like, hey, as Chris Rock used to say, you know, daddy said put some Robitussin on it. I mean, I hope you don't get addicted to the Robitussin, but put some Robitussin. You break your ankle, put some Robitussin on it. Break your wrist, put some Robitussin on it. But at least you'll have a job because there's going to be a rich dude that hooks you up. I mean, this is actually the funny joke that we always tell, you know, like we talk about, I'm a comic book guy, and we talk about Batman. Batman is out there beating up poor people. Now, you say, no, it's criminals, whatnot, and yeah. You say, yeah, he's beating criminals, but remember, Batman is Bruce Wayne. He's a multi-billionaire. So, we know most people commit crimes because they basically they can't get a job. So they have to resort to crime. Most folks. Now, obviously, they make the, you know, the super villains, whatnot. The Joker don't care about money. He's burning stacks of money in the movie, which we know is as false and fictional as you can get. And if there's a crazy person like that, they would have shot and killed his ass a long time ago. Like, what? You're a criminal and you don't care about money? Pal, you got to die, boss. But I digress. Point is, if Bruce Wayne wanted to stop crime in Gotham, he would start businesses and start hiring some of these cats. Because if you hire them and get them jobs, it's a little bit harder for the Joker, the Riddler, the Penguin to recruit these cats. I mean, last time I checked, be my henchman. I'm the Joker, and I might kill you. I might do something bad to you because you disappoint me, whatever. I mean, because that's what these supervillains do all the time, right? Or, shit, you go out there and you do something, and Batman is kicking your ass. He is breaking your thumbs. He's breaking your nose, jawbone, whatever. I mean, have we not seen enough of these movies and these read enough of these comics to know that, hell, if you do that, you're a criminal, you're going to get your ass whooped. It doesn't quite work out. So if Bruce Wayne was giving out jobs, he can bring down the crime and he wouldn't have to be out quite as much at night, because the Joker, he has no henchmen if they're all working. They got benefits. It's one of those things. So you say, what is Bruce Wayne's company doing to give him a whole lot of money? He's getting a tax cut. And he's trickling it down into his pocket where he's making batarangs and he's beating up poor people. Now, obviously, this is works of fiction, but hell. Let's look at them works of fiction and see how those works of fiction end up becoming what it is. Anyway, time for the hate of the week.
Hate.
I hate you. Oh, man. Hater of the week. You know, it is real easy to find haters. You know, I used to think, man, it was going to be really, really tough to find haters at one point. It was like, you know, when I first came up with the concept of hater of the week, it was like, man, it was, you know, I would have thought that it was going to be tough. Like, how do you find haters, right? But, man, it is real easy to find haters. Case in point, hater of the week, Antonio Foreman, and who is one of the, he's got ties to this group called the Oath Keepers. They're supposedly an alt-right, which means they're a racist, they're a white racist group. Anyway, these dudes hollered at the wrong dudes. You know, they was looking at apparently some cats from the Middle East, whatever, and one thing led to another. There was a minor traffic collision, and apparently one was chasing after the other, and Foreman, the alt-right guy, stopped his vehicle in front of the other one, made them hit him, and they exited the car and proceeded to whoop his ass, stabbed him, and pretty much beat the hell out of him and stabbed him a whole lot. Now, the alt-right people, white racists, say that the attack on their bodyguard, their guy, is a hate crime. which is funny. Because, I mean, you know, it's a hate crime when they don't get to jump the so-called minorities. You know, one, you know, some of these dudes, like the Dave Chappelle, "When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong," when you're believing your lyrics, you're not understanding what the reality is, you're getting into it with a couple guys, and you're believing your hatred, your hated racist mantras, and thinking, hey, well, you know, I'm the white man, I'm the one, and you know, just like the guy, I think it was the white guy came into Burger King where a bunch of black folks working and was knocking over stuff and was talking crazy and got tased and homie gave him a couple good ones. It's like, you know, when things are even, you're probably going to get your ass whooped. Which is, you know, for them, they say hate crime. I mean, your whole thing is hate. I mean, you're the hate. Y'all are the ones who invented hate. It's like just like with the Civil War when it ended. You know, the Klan's origin story is basically like, man, we not gonna treat black folks with respect. Your life means nothing. And they started the Klan because it was like, why should we treat them like they are human? We should treat them like they're subhuman, beat them up, hang them, cut their dicks off, da-da-da-da-da-da. What happens? Now, these dudes, you know, come up 160-some years later. These dudes challenging folks, get their ass whooped, and they say it's a hate crime. Nah, this is justice. You're getting your ass whooped because if you step to somebody, and we know a lot of these cats, if they step to somebody one-on-one, they normally getting their ass whooped because we know y'all are the punk bitches who will always jump bad when it's a bunch of y'all on one person. That's the whole Klan thing. It was some old cowardly shit. Got the hoods on and all this other stuff. Punk bitches. You know, if you stand, you live in your lyrics, you standing by your thing, you don't need the hoods. Just say, hey, I hate y'all, and this is who we are. But I'm just stating the obvious. My hater of the week is the haters who are mad when they get their ass whooped in the fair fight. Punk bitch ass. I'm going to move on, though. I'm going to go on to happier times. Well, not necessarily happier times. Church of England. Justin Webley, the Archbishop of Canterbury. It sounds like, you know, a guy from a movie, right? Made a statement last week saying that the Church of England had colluded with sex abuse. And here's what happened. Former Bishop Peter Ball, who was convicted and imprisoned in 2015 after pleading guilty to offenses including two counts of indecent assault. Welby said the report was harrowing reading and that the church didn't help those who were brave enough to come forward. As he said that the Church of England said the institution colluded with and helped to hide the long-term sexual abuse of young men by one of its former bishops. Now, we all know that that's what happens. You know, if you want your young men to be abused, send them off with the pastor. I'm the Catholic priest. Well, no, this wasn't Catholic, but, you know, the point is, generally speaking, church officials are not good role models. It's funny I'm saying this. They're not good role models for your young men, because generally, if they're doing a youth retreat, whatnot, and I'm not stereotyping all of them, I'm just saying we see a lot of these stories where this is the end result. And as we know, the majority of the kids and these officials, when it happens, we know, rape, molestation, people don't cop to it. And when they do, when it does happen, they just move that person to another part of the world and they get to do it again because they just said, I pray the Lord forgives me, and that's it. And I'm thinking it's going to take a little bit more than praying to the Lord for you to be forgiven. I'm sorry, but they're stating the obvious here. Yeah, we colluded. It's kind of what they always do, right? I mean, I talk about Groundhog Day, but I'm just saying, this is just stating the obvious. He comes out and says, yeah, you know what? That's what we did. We're sorry. And that's it. Yeah. That's all that happened. Now, right or wrong, I don't know. That's for you to decide. But all I know is, if you want your kid mistreated, you let them hang out with church officials. Generally speaking, it's not a good move. I said that, didn't I? I think I need to go on break after that. This is Big Pun, John Blaze.
My stripes show like regiments, military intelligence, murder gang. I leave no evidence, credentials. Go ask my preschool, even talk to my old principal. He say, Rob, I used to pack a number two pencil. Savage students, rabbit teachers, Catholic preachers. In the school staircase, cutting class, packing my reefer, MO class. Operation return, they tried to say I was incompetent, not able to learn. I say return now, got my own label I earn. Like that nigga said, it's dead president. Money to burn, Queensbridge, pay homage, respect. Knowledge the vet, acknowledge the rest. Bottles, baguettes, niggas is this and that. I'm just the best, putting all balance to rest. Between Latin kings and blood, let's talk about blood is Spanish, so many thugs vanish. Unite the system, the fight within the street wisdom. To help teach the prison
fuck lie. Anyone says the pun must die. Just give me one try. Now you know you done fucked up, right? Ha. You ain't got no wins with me, Tasa. Take that Fasa. You ain't even in my class. I hate an actor that plays a rapper. I'm Trevor Squad, Beta Kappa, everybody's favorite rapper. Grand Imperial College material. You're insane criminal, the same nigga who known to blow out your brain mineral. I'm main subliminal, resides the visual. Try to supply your physical, but my spirit inside of it's lyrical. I'll appear in your dreams like Freddy, do no kidding you. Even if I stuttered, I would still shit on you. Soon as I chitter chatter, you shit and chatter. I'm the kid out of the Bronx, that'll stomp you to death like it didn't matter. I'm even better than before, in the metaphors. Killers better than all the punks. One verse, get them all played.
Your range, six hit you, the other six up in your dame, mafia style, leave you with your watch and your chain, take heed that, not only can I flow, I can aim, but y'all misdemeanor niggas can't stand the rain, better believe that, whenever I see y'all, I'ma test ya, only cause I know the faggots respect pressure, hardcore, like shit you get kicked out for y'all for, kids ain't the cops, but I lock niggas up, you can leave me in my cell, I soak and stock niggas up, far as the flow go, you can let your dough show, put your money on the table, we can battle on cable. That hot dog niggas get naked. Fuck around with Jason. That shorty from the lock, John.
My son, cool out. Don't beat, yo. Throw the tool out. Let's run these niggas. Kidnap, they work. Make them move out. Clutch pads, hands is like glass. Keep the heat in the dash. Did some dirt for some work. Quarter gas. The flicker rocker, wicked sneaker rocker. Footwear. Strike me out, guard. Stacking up joints. Back on my foot locker. This is raw. Raw like fuck. They represent. Hit it, crankshaw. Hold my words stronger than the bin store. Relentless. The anthology consolidated with the quickness. Just up in the wig and blouse, chillin' sickness. Let the imagination large go-karts. Keep the focus for our brains that connect. Put on the older guard, specialist, icicleist. War is collar, feelin' the rich. Work for a dollar, who said that's why broke niggas who got hard guard. Sign them up, start to wind up. We John Blaze and Garner in the lineup.
Mathematics, you gotta love us, cause Joey Crack plus Gad equals a lot of dead motherfuckers. Just when you thought I was done, I recruited puns. Never squad, enterprise, undisputed, done. I'm from the slums where it's worse. Plus my guns still it hurts, for fucking with my funds on the first. And go to church like a monster, discuss your death over stripping lobster. With my Cuban partner, Lucas with the garbage. When he shot, run up on any block, disrespect any cop. Used to run many spots, now I own shops. Cortex with the lock 564, build a pop. I'm hot, who wanna get burned? I five wanna get nine and watch your whole fucking head turn. You best learn to parlay. I've had a hard day, fuck around with the dawn to get John Blaze.
John Blaze, John Blaze, jump, jump, I'm on John Blaze, jump, 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 John
together you got smooth drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drum with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Big Pun, the late, great Big Pun. Johnny Blaze, Ain't a Damn Thing Changes. Speaking of Not a Damn Thing Changes, you know what time it is. It is that time.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
Oh, what is that shit that happened again? You know, Groundhog Day. Same thing happens again and again and again and again and again. Day after day after day. Don't even matter. Rain, sleet, snow, shine. Bam. It's going to happen. So, I'm going to be reversed. I ain't going to talk about nothing that happened to black folks. I'm going to talk about something that happened to a white person. Alleged bomb-making neo-Nazi granted bond by a federal judge. Brandon Russell, 22 years old, a self-avowed neo-Nazi and member of the white supremacist group Atom Waffen, which is German for atom weapon, shared an apartment with a group of roommates who held similar views until May of 2017, meaning they were a gang, they were like a terrorist group, but I digress. Now, one of his roommates, fellow neo-Nazi Devin Arthur, became upset with another one, killed him, and committed armed robbery before surrendering to the police. That's the police go back and they go to Brandon Russell's apartment, see him in the camouflage gear. And, he's got the framed photo of Timothy McVeigh. If you don't remember who Timothy McVeigh was, he was the guy that blew up the federal building in Oklahoma. Had a copy of Adolf Hitler's book, Mein Kampf. And white supremacist race war diaries. But also had bomb-making materials found inside the apartment. Investigators discovered the compound hexamethylene triperoxide diamine and other bomb-making materials, which include ammonium nitrate and radioactive materials, thorium and americium, all on the scene. Russell was a member of the Florida National Guard and, faces federal charges for the explosives and was arrested a couple weeks ago after purchasing gun and ammunition. Now, despite all the white supremacist material, terrorist material, bomb-making tools, explosives, and the purchased weapons, U.S. Magistrate Judge Thomas McCown granted Russell bond request while awaiting trial. Judge McCown wrote in his decision, "I am unable to conclude there is clear and convincing evidence that the defendant represents a threat to any other person." It's not funny, but it's funny in that whole bizarro world theme that we always talk about, Groundhog Day. Homie is making explosives. He has a picture of Timothy McVeigh framed, a dude who blew up a building killing, few thousand people, no biggie, got weapons, got Mein Kampf. I guess that's not a big deal because I got that book too, but I don't read it because I love him. I read it so you can understand the people that hate you. Anyway, I'm digressing. The point is, the judge says he could find that there's no clear and convincing evidence that the defendant represents a threat to any other person. Because, you know, white folks are not terrifying. Which goes back to the other Groundhog Day. You know, there's a black man that was found not guilty after 40 years. And remember, I bring this up because there's an article where people were talking about there were two jurors who held up the jury that made Bill Cosby win his case, meaning the hung jury. And, you know, it's a big deal to people, I guess. And don't get me wrong, Bill Cosby's guilty as shit. But, and we're talking about those two jurors, I'm like, who were the jurors when the brother was found not guilty after 40 years of evidence, you know, that said that, you know, that was planted on him. Man said I was innocent. They test the evidence. He's innocent. Who were the jurors there? Are we looking for them? I mean, how many? I mean, we talk about Groundhog Day with the police officer in Milwaukee. What the dude do? Oh, he killed a black man. You know, black man who's running the other way, running the other way, and the guy, Hagan Brown, he was fired from the police force in October over another charge, not for killing the black man, but for sexual assault charges. He was charged with assaulting a man a day after he fatally shot Smith. Now, you know, there's a and what makes it even worse is that my crack researcher found a case where a man who shot the police dog, Jethro, got 45 years in prison. Now, and we're talking about Calantre D. Bearfield. Now, I'm not going to look him up, but I'm gonna guess that Calantre D. Bearfield probably maybe doesn't look Caucasian. Maybe he does. I don't know. I'm just saying. He got 45 years in prison for killing the dog. Hagan Brown was fired over unrelated sexual assault charges. He was also charged with having sex with prostitutes and sexually assaulting another person between December 2015 and July 2016. He got in trouble for that. He got fired. Killing the black dude. Hey, not guilty. Now, when we make the comparison, Calantre gets 45 years. And Stark County Common Pleas Judge Kristen G. Farmer called Bearfield's actions intolerable and said they violated the safety and security of this country and the people sworn to protect it, as she sentenced him to a combined 45-year prison term that covers both his cases. You know, because he was committing burglary and aggravated robbery. 45 years. Killed police dog. Killed black man. Don't even get charged. Not guilty. But damn it. You killed a dog? 45 years. Now, is it racist? I don't know. We won't even talk about the racist part, right? We're just saying the dog, if you kill the dog, you can get 45 years. And the judge will call it intolerable. And you are violating the safety and security of this country and the people sworn to protect it. Now, we go back to Brandon Russell. And this dude has neo-Nazi paraphernalia, terrorist paraphernalia. I mean, because if I remember my reading correctly, the Nazis weren't necessarily considered good people. I'm thinking, you know, and I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But I could have swore that the people said that the Nazis did a whole lot of bad stuff. These are his role models. As well as the framed picture of Timothy McVeigh, who blew some shit up and killed a lot of people. Also, those pictures were framed in the house. As well as material that make bombs, and I'm guessing that, you know, he planned on using those bombs to harm people. But Judge, U.S. Magistrate Judge Thomas McCown says, I am unable to conclude there is a clear and convincing evidence that the defendant represents a threat to any other person. Now, can we say maybe it has something to do with the race of Mr. Bearfield and Mr. Russell? Could be. You know, but I guess some folks would say that it's like some apples and some oranges, right? I'm sorry. Yeah. You can clearly state in this bizarre world that you want to kill a whole lot of people if you're white. You can have the materials to kill a whole lot of people if you're white. You can idolize people who killed a whole lot of people if you're white. And you're not considered or represent remotely a threat to any other person in the eyes of another white person. Just, hey, I mean, you're just blowing off steam. I mean, how many times we got to see it? If it's the rape, what, 30 minutes of action, you're going to ruin somebody's life? You know, ruining somebody else's life is called 30 minutes of action. Threatening to kill a whole lot of people is not representing a threat to any other person. Kind of crazy. Kind of bizarro world-ish. I mean, but, you know, I could be just talking out my ass. I mean, I'm guessing that Brandon Russell, he just had a face only a mother would love, a motherfucker that just is low down, dirty, would love. I don't know what else you can say. The tale of two cities, the tale of two people, tale of two different perspectives. Which one is right? Which one is wrong? I don't know, but I know what side I'm on. What side you on? On that note, I am Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drum production, and I am out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drummer. Smooth.